a joy to be here this morning. And you get my age, it's a joy to be anywhere, really. And my wife's age, and but yet God's letting us yet travel and preach some across the country. You pray for us. Next Sunday, I'll be up in Black Mountain. And then the last of the month, I'll be down. Then Sunday after that, I'll be back at Northwood. And so, and then two Sundays following that, I'll be south of Atlanta, Georgia. So an old man 77-year-old don't need to be a traveler like that. But God's been good to us, and we praise His name for it. And it's a joy to be here this morning, church. And I've enjoyed I enjoyed Friday night and last night, and looking forward to get to enjoy tonight. And so be here. If you know somebody not in church, invite them to come tonight and get in on the service. And then let me encourage you. Always invite somebody to come to Sunday school. Man, I love Sunday school. I don't care who I preach. I never miss Sunday school. I just love the study of the Word of God. And so do your part. Stand behind your pastor and love him. And these days, and my, this platform looks beautiful this morning. And what a thrill just to get to come and preach this morning in Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle. Take your Bible. Turn with us this morning over in John chapter 3. I'm not John, but Matthew. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. I guess about to do like a preacher did last night. I said, go to 2 Corinthians. And when I got there, I couldn't find it. And so I was about to do the same thing. That's, you have to look over us old men. Amen. John chapter 3 and verse number 1 this morning. I hope you got your place. And I want to encourage you, take your Bible and stay with me this morning. I want to help you. And what I'm dealing with this morning is one of the most important messages that a man can preach. And I just want to be an encouragement and a help to you in these hours. In John chapter 3 and verse number 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judah and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel hair and leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey, and went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the other most parts around about, and were baptizing of them in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said unto them, O generations of vipers, who has warned you to flee the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit and meats for the repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able for these stones to rise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather the wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. We look at this passage this morning. God hadn't spoken now for almost 400 years, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And now then we're looking, and I want to tell you, you can believe your Bible this morning, because he said it's been spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Now this is almost 1,200 years ago from this setting of chapter 3. And something that God tells you 1,200 years ago comes to pass in the Word of God. You got a book you can believe this morning. Amen. Amen. Don't have to question it. We got the right book this morning, and this is the King James Bible, and he didn't write it. He just liberated it that we as individuals could have a Bible. He is a king. I have had the privilege to hold the King's Bible in my own hand. It had his coat of seals on it, and every historian said that belonged to King James personally. And I looked at it, I could preach out of it. A lot of folks said, if you had that Bible today, you couldn't even preach out of it. I could preach out of it. I mean, it was war you could understand. And it's like our Bible today. It's not changed. And so we see here this morning that John has come now preaching a message of repentance. Telling people how to be saved. And working with him already here in chapter 3 of the book of Matthew. And in this, if you look at it there in verse number 7, as he was teaching and preaching repentance and baptizing for the repentance, then we see that there were some Sadducees and Pharisees that come on the scene. And doing this, then John had to change his message. And when they came on the scene with their doctrines, he said, "Oh, generation of vipers, who's fleeing you to warn the wrath to come?" Now watch it, the Pharisees. You know what they did? They came wanting to carry out the law and stand with the old Mosaical law and some of the traditions of the Old Testament. Hey, that's been fulfilled within the Lord Jesus Christ. And John said, "Hey, we're not holding to that. Hey, we come as I've come as John the Baptizer. Hey, we Baptists believe by immersion, baptizing our candidates, and I'll show you the difference here in a little bit in the message this morning. But we see then the Sadducees." They come. They didn't believe in the angels of working in their ministry and the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father in those days. And they came denying that. And Brother Old John just preached to them. And he said to them in verse number 10, "Now also the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." He said, "Fellas, I just want to tell you, God's going to take care of you, and he'll cut you down like cutting down a tree, and then when he's done with you, he's going to throw you in the fire." You're right. Now, you see here, we're talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. And we'll rightly divide it this morning. Because we got some people out across this country, and they're just as cruel as the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Brother, they're mixing this thing all up, and they're claiming they got something more than anybody else has got. And if you ain't got what they got, and they got a whole line of stuff that they go through that they do is not scriptural this morning, and friend, they'll deceive you just like this crowd came to John in his day of preaching and trying to deceive those not to accept repentance by grace. And then he turns in, and he said in verse number 12, whosoever, he said here in verse 11, "And indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that came after me, whose mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge the floor and gather the wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff of unquenchable fire." Now John turned his message here. He said not only he's going to have a cleaning of the house, he's going to be just like a man with a big wheat crop. And he's going to come in and he's going to gather all of that wheat and he's going to put it in the garter. He's going to put it where to keep. But he said all of that chaff and that stuff there that's really not a wheat, he said he's going to burn it in the fire. And so let me say this morning, in my thought of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and in fire, it's two separate situations. And so let me deal with it this morning. as John was baptizing, they were getting saved and repenting of their sins. And he was baptizing them like we Baptists baptize them in water. Amen. But I want you to know, thank God, that he gave them the gospel. And though there was a crowd of fighting, I've never seen my country divided like it is this morning. I've never seen the devil work like he's working today. And brother, they're against the church. But thank God the other day we had a president had a nerve enough, to say this bill that's in the law that a preacher can't say what he needs to say in the pulpit unless the church uses or loses her tax exemption. He said that's over with. He tore that law up. He struck it out and said you preachers have a right to preach what this other crowd has to say. Well, you better appreciate a man like that. I'm here to tell you this morning, he made a promise, and we didn't ask him for it. I'm going to stand behind the man of God. Had a prayer meeting up there the other morning, and had prayer over the food. And I'm here to tell you, friend, that stands out more than what we've had in some past days. And we better not take this lightly. You better pray for your president. Better pray for your country. But most of all, we better pray for our churches this morning. Where we're at. And so you say, preacher, what is a baptism of the Holy Ghost? John's already started here, but go with me over in John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, and you can mark your place there. We see Jesus now is in his earthly ministry. And there in John chapter 3, he said there was a man of the Pharisees. Now, who was it we looked at a while ago? A Pharisee. His name was Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Friend, I just want to tell you, Jesus just come preaching repentance. He just come and said you got to get born again. He didn't say sign a card, do good. Turn over a new leaf. He said Nicodemus, he's a Pharisee. Jesus knowed who he was, what he was all about. And he said, Nicodemus, you better get born again. And so this morning we see here old Nicodemus. He tried to squirm out of this and he said, Master, how can these things be? How can a man when he's old, how can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born? He said, that which is born to the flesh is flesh. That which is born to the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Brother Jesus didn't compromise on it. He didn't hang his head to that Pharisee. He said, if you get born again, you're going to have to come my way or it's no other way. And friend, this morning, we got everything being preached all over this country for salvation. I heard a man on a radio station in Winston some a long time back, and he said there's so many different ways to be saved. He didn't know which one was right. That's sad in these days that we're in. Brother Jesus didn't apologize. He didn't hang his head. He just said, if you're going to get born again and you're going to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're going to trust me. You're going to receive me. And so let me say this morning, Nicodemus, brother Jesus, come and he confirmly stood without fear or compromise on the word of God that he had come to give to you and I this morning. And again, we better stand on it too. You can try to do this and do good. I'll put it off one of these days and I'll get saved. But if you ain't careful, you'll get baptized in the lake of fire. Yes, brother, at the judgment day. And so we see here of how that Jesus taught salvation by grace through faith. And he just simply said to Nicodemus, for God so loved the world. Now watch it. Let me go back to verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And him talking about Lord Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Glory to God. I'm glad Jesus' message, was to repent or perish. And let me say this morning, if you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, you got to get on your knees, confess that you're a sinner, and just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension back to the Father, and friend, ask him to save you. He'll save you this morning. You say, how do you know? Look with me over in Romans, if you will, this morning. In Romans, we find here in chapter number 3, he said that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's being saved. And that's how you get baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then back over in chapter 5 and verse number 8, God commanded his love toward us. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Look with me, if you will, this morning, over in the 10th chapter and verse number 9 this morning. And the Bible says that if I shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed. Look at verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, thank God this morning. What are you saying, preacher? I'm just simply saying it's worked. It keeps on working. Soon we'll be this August. I've been saved for 57 years. The second Sunday in August 1960. I bowed on my knees, trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. He saved me. And the moment that I believed in him, he baptized me in the Holy Ghost. I was baptized into the plan of salvation. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I'm here to tell you, friend, from that day till this, the Holy Spirit's worked. Yeah. What do you say when you get tempted with something you say, I don't believe that's right? Well, now what made you think of that all of a sudden? As the Holy Spirit. Maybe something you're going to do, and all of a sudden something says, don't you do that. That's the Holy Spirit working in your life. I had a preacher came to me some months ago. And he's a good man. Good preacher. Probably know him if I call his name. He asked me about doing something. And I said, let me pray about it. And I prayed about it, brother pastor. And I went back and he said, have you prayed about what I asked you? And I said, yes, sir. He said, are you going to help? I said, no, sir. I said, I didn't have peace about it. I didn't understand that. I didn't know why, brother pastor. And a few days later, I found out there's a little something wrong in that thing that he's asking me to do. And I had no idea. But the moment I was praying and asking God about it, he didn't give me peace about it. That's a Holy Ghost. That's what took place in my life the day I got saved, glory to God. And a young fella didn't know all that much about the Word of God, but just believe God anyway. Now 57 years down the road, glory to God, I'm telling you, it's real, it's worked. It's never let me down. If you're sitting here this morning, say, friend, how you're gambling with your life and how you're gambling with your soul this morning, and death could come sudden. Some of these around here don't like the United States can drop a bomb on us, wipe us out of here. Jesus could come immediately, catch the church out, leave you behind, and die and go to hell. How sad this morning to die without the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see this morning that it's important that we understand the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Look with me, if you will, in Acts 2. And then I'll move on. In Acts chapter 2, we realize that Peter now has the keys to the gospel. And he's opened the gospel to them. And multitudes are being saved here in Acts chapter 2. And yet, there's questions. This is Joel's prophecy that Peter is preaching here. Thousand years ago, or even maybe a little more. And yet now it's coming to pass. And look with me, if you will, and how that he's preached, they've repented, folks who got saved. Look in verse 38. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sin, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now he said, baptized in who? He said, baptized in Jesus. This is not water baptism. The Holy Spirit hadn't got here till now. In Acts 2, the Holy Spirit's come. It's not a baptism of just a repentance alone. It's a baptism of salvation, being saved by grace. Now we got a crowd mixed up on that. And you better watch them. We got some in Yakinville already. And they'll tell you, unless you're baptized in Jesus' name, you're going to die and go to hell. Well, I got baptized in Jesus that moment I got saved. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, don't get water confused with your salvation. But I identified myself with the church. And then when the church baptized, they baptized me in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Buried him in the likeness of his death, raising him in the likeness of his resurrection. Man, I'm telling you, looking at an old preacher today, loves to baptize, glory to God. And I like to get that little hit in there on every convert I baptize. They've accepted Christ, burying them in the likeness of his death, raising them in the likeness of his resurrection. I'm telling you what, when we keep the water stirred, folks are being saved, keep the church excited. I'm telling you what, friend, you won't get carried away with a lot of this junk that's going out across the country today. You young converts, listen today. There'll be some old Pharisee out there trying to get a hold of you and get you out of tabernacle. They'll try to tell you if you ain't got this gift, got that gift, and all that other stuff, you ain't been saved and all that. Don't you pay any attention to that. I know how this fella preaches. Salvation by grace. And so this morning, and you mark Acts chapter 2 now, this is when the Holy Ghost came. And brother, What a day that was. And then look down in verse number 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized the same day, and were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What a day. I mean, glory to God, what a day. People are being saved by the grace of God. I had the privilege through the years to work with Dr. Jack Hiles in Hammonds, Indiana. I was there several Sundays and worked with him. I've been on his platform. I've worked his bus ministry. But a few years ago, I was there, got there on Saturday, worked a bus route, and on Sunday morning, started bringing them into the church. We had a great Sunday school that morning. And so this will blow some of you's mind, but I can prove what I'm telling you. That Sunday morning, we had 142,000 in Sunday school. That's hard for you to believe, ain't it? But we had it. We had 235 bus routes that day. And the city chief come in, the policemen, and blocked off a four-lane highway right down in front of the church and let us park 235 buses right down that four lane. I mean, they couldn't even come through town till we broke service that day. And in that hour of service, with all the buildings we had going, and with all the preaching places that we had set up, We had over 3,000 Spanish there that day. We just had them way over in the building to theirself. We had the seventh grade. And if he'd have took the seventh grade that Sunday morning, we'd have been the second largest church in Indiana. I mean, friend, we had a crowd. We had souls. And when the invitation were given, and when we got them together in the main auditorium, we had 972 saved that morning by the grace of God. The invitation auditorium I was in had over 8,000 people in it. And down the aisle, an old lady in a wheelchair. And she was almost 70 years old, pushing that wheelchair, and said, "I've never heard the gospel till this morning." And said, "Do you think Jesus would save me?" And that dear old sister got saved that morning, asked Jesus Christ to come into heart and life. And he said to preacher, "Preacher, if a water baptism goes with it after you're saved, identify with the church." Said, "Would you baptize me?" That morning, we baptized 700 before we went to dinner. And then come back that night and baptize the rest of them. Amen. And I'm telling you, you say, "Preacher, you've seen that. I've experienced that. I worked in that." And I'm here to tell you this morning, when we took that dear old sister in the baptistry, we just took her wheelchair and all. Amen. Suck it all right there, glory to God. I'm telling you, if you're talking about something exciting, that's exciting church this morning. I've still got it in me, can't do it like I used to, but glory to God, I still got that part this morning. I want to do something for God. Just want to serve God. And so here this morning, Acts chapter 2, that's what we're talking about. When you trust Jesus, that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when you get that, then that'll make you want to line up a water baptism in the local church. In the name of the Father, name of the Son, and name of the Holy Ghost. And now then, let's look at the baptism of fire, and I'll come to a close. We realize in Luke chapter 16, there was a rich man. There he fired sumptuously every day. But there was a beggar. And that old beggar was laid at his door. And he just begged for a few crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And you tell they wouldn't even have anything to do. And even the dogs came and licked his sores. But the old beggar died. And when he did, and here's what that Pharisee crowd didn't believe. They didn't believe an angel. So the angels took and carried him to Father Abraham's bosom. I mean, that crowd shows up and about everything that God's got to go, and there's always something show up, try to hinder it. Tired up. Send it in a different direction. Church, don't get carried off with a little old handful that never done nothing. Stay with the church that's done something that has walked with God, served God, and seen people saved, seen their lives changed. Stay with it. And so this old beggar died. But thank God he was ushered by the angels into the city of God. And the rich man died. And hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, were in the flames of fire. And even said, "Somebody go tell my brother not to come to this awful place. Hell's real this morning, friend." I'm here to tell you, they have their mind, they have their senses in hell. He remembered the brothers that he had. He knew they were lost. They was in the same condition he was in. He just said, let Lazarus go, or let Moses go, and tell my brother not to come to this awful place. Brother, that's sad. At that day when the rich man died, he was baptized in the lake of fire. Baptized in the lake of fire. What a loss. It's gone. There's a gulf fixed. Can't get out. It's forever and forever and forever. Revelation chapter 20 this morning. And as we look there for just a moment, we see here this morning in the Word of God, in Revelation 20 and verse number 10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone," brimstone, "where their beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and forever. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it, from whom's a face and the earth and the heavens fled away. There was found no more place for them. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which was written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to the works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Friend, every one, those false prophets, dear friend, those Sadducees and Pharisees, those Christ deniers and rejectors, and those good people that had a good intention and one day was going to get saved and send away the day of grace and died without being saved, they were also cast into the lake of fire with the devil and his angels. Friend, how sad. That's a finite baptism. Baptism of the holy of a fire. The baptism of the fire. So when John came in Matthew chapter 3, he preached repentance. Here come a bunch of Pharisees and Sadducees. He tried to distort the message. Brother, he preached to them. They didn't heed it. And now we see that crowd over here in Revelation 20 in the finite. They get baptized into the lake of fire. Oh, how sad. Folks, today we make a choice. Either we've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, or today you make a baptizing. You make a decision. I'll just walk on and take a chance of the baptism of the fire. You don't want to go to hell this morning. Oh, my soul. You don't want to go to hell this morning. If we could pull back the curtains of hell and hear the screams and the yelling and the gnawing and the gnashing of the teeth and the gnawing of their tongues and screaming for a little drop of water this morning. I'm here to tell you, you don't want to go to hell. This preacher here don't want you to go to hell. This pastor don't want you to go to hell. This body of church don't want you to go to hell. Oh, what a sad day when it comes and the books are open and your name's not found written in the book of life. And there you're cast into the lake of fire to be baptized forever and forever and forever with the devil. Don't send away the day of grace. I'm a little reluctant to tell the story, but in Wilkes County, I know some years ago, I worked in the funeral business. We had a call one evening to come into Wilkes County. We came into Wilkes County. Here's a car demolished. Two men in it. Piece of chrome down through one of them's neck and into his chest. We got him out of the wreck, rushed him over to Elkin Hospital. I was picking him up to lay him on the emergency room table over there. His blood was running down my arms. And he gargled. And I heard him mumble lowly, "Don't let me die. I'm not prepared to die." I stood there with the doctors when we removed the chrome. And when the chrome was taken out of his chest and out through his neck there, he died. And the last words I ever heard him say, "Don't let me die. I'm not prepared to die." How sad, folks. That happened right here in your county. Not too far from your home. And if I was telling all the story, you'd know the occasion. Some of you older people would know the occasion. How sad. I had a call one day out on the north side of our town and on Ellis Street. And down that street, I pulled up to this home. I jumped out. The people were screaming, couldn't hardly get any information out of them to get there. And I got there, I heard screaming going on in the house. I run in that living room. This mother had her little boy in his arms running around in the living room, and she was screaming and said, "Oh God, if I'd have served you, if I'd have lived for you, my boy wouldn't have died. I had to kick her feet out from under a thorn in the floor, wring that kid out of her hands, and throw it out of the house." I hear that mother saying, "Oh God, if I'd have lived for you, if I'd have served you, I wouldn't have a dead boy today." I'm here to tell you, church, people can play with salvation. They can mock at God this morning, but there's a judgment that's on the way. And I beg you this morning, I plead with you from the soul of my heart, out of the Word of God, trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and let that Holy Ghost do a work in your heart this morning, and have that baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when that's sealed with the blood, thank God you're sealed for time and eternity. You say, "Preacher, you're not going to hell?" No, I'm not going to hell. Got my sins under the blood. Amen. I've got assured us on the Word of God. When I trust Him, I have eternal salvation. I just read that. 16. Amen. You make a choice this morning. Folks, I've preached my heart. My burden is you're not saved. Don't play with it. Don't mess around. I'm in the preaching Friday night, last night, and then this morning. What an opportunity we have just to come to let Christ do a work within our heart and in our life. Let us stand to our feet.